Fusion, the international science radio show.
We have a bouncer and the doors of perception.
The good, the bad, the ugly.
It gets pretty exciting.
The myths, the truths.
Toxicology.
Astro-seismology.
Magnetism. The dark side.
Genetically engineered potatoes.
Planetoid.
Planetoid.
I love that word.
Hello and welcome to Diffusion. Sit back and relax while we mock your brain by sequencing weird and wonderful science. I'm Ian Wolfe. On this edition, Sam Dyer jokes about DNA sequencing at the Adelaide Fringe Festival. Sam Dyer has a background in both the technical side of science and the commercial side of science. He comes from a cancer research background at the Centre for Cancer Biology in Adelaide. Sam now works for a cutting-edge DNA sequencing technology company that was spun out of an Oxford University project. Sam recently performed a science stand-up comedy act in the Adelaide Fringe Festival after training with the Sydney Comedy School. I spoke with Sam via Zoom. You're one of the young scientists that were selected for the science comedy training, and you've been performing your science comedy stand-up act in Adelaide.
It was quite exciting to be involved. There were about 15 of us across a number of days and quite a diverse range of science presented and a little bit of comedy as well, of course. But always nice to get the laughters up.
Is it a change for you? Were you doing some comedy before?
I've never done comedy before apart from bantering around with friends and family. I've definitely presented in front of quite a diverse range of audiences over time, you know, MC events and so forth, for the first comedy gig. So it was quite interesting. I quite enjoyed it. But I do like to make people laugh and I love good science. So it was really nice to have the two intertwined and sell out crowd and all of that. So it made for, you know, a nice jovial audience on the day.
And how did you get involved with the comedy?
So they approached me, the Sydney comedy group approached me. I think they found my name on the Science in the Pub Adelaide website. So for quite some years, I was involved as a volunteer for them, coordinating activities for events we would put on every month. It's still ongoing. I had to bow out for basically a number of other time competing pressures a couple of years ago, but still in touch with a lot of the organisers, a lot of very good scientists. And so I was occasional MC there as well. I thought it would be something really good. I mean, I always welcome opportunities to be engaged, particularly in the science world. And as part of my job, I interact quite a bit with quite a diverse range of science, particularly in the biological science area. So there was quite a good turnout as well in the crowd of friends and family who were there supporting and all of that, as I think everyone did have. So, you know, we're not quite, you know, Tom Gleason yet in terms of comedy. But
so did you only perform once?
Only once. Some of them performed a couple of times. Mm. The call did go out once we realised how popular it was and
yes,
that the bookings were, you know, going away like hotcakes. But I, due to time pressures as well, unfortunately, I couldn't commit to a second show, so it was just the one. Definitely, if opportunities present themselves again, you know, perhaps next year or some other venues, then by all means, I thoroughly enjoyed it. And apparently, apart from the official video, a number of friends took some other videos and they have been circulating around, and people I barely even know have said, oh, we heard you were doing blah, 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 and we've seen this yet. So it's exciting.
That's terrific. Do you think you might bring it to your Science in the Pub in the future?
I think it's I'm no longer volunteering there directly, but it's certainly a format that I think could go quite well and certainly worth pitching to the guys there. It hadn't occurred to me until this moment, and I think it's a really good idea. So maybe next time I'm having a chat, I should bring it up with them. So I might be able to get some people in there. There's quite a bit of overlap in terms of who presents these various different science events anyway. So it's just nice to talk about science in a way that maybe people who don't do the same type of science or don't do science at all can grasp what exactly is happening. And I mean, my friends and family that attended, they they said, oh, you know, now we finally understand what you do. So, you know, it's nice to sort of get that science out there. I mean, science pretty much for more or less changes the world, and for people to be able to comprehend what is happening there is I believe it's quite important.
And did you find
that
they
can have a good time along the way, why not?
Yeah, that's right. That's absolutely right. And did you find that it was a challenge to make medical things funny?
Somewhat. I mean, a little bit of artistic license used in terms of focusing on the things that maybe have some comedic humour. I talked about the fact that koalas have chlamydia and why you should probably, certain things you should avoid doing with koalas and how sequencing technologies can help support that. Talked about paternity testing and some of the more comedic outcomes that can come out of that. So it is a matter, I think, a little bit of picking topics that will help explain the science but will also resonate with the audience. And we did have coaching as well, which was great. So people who are already experienced in comedy take us along the way. So I do like to be quite practiced and polished before I'm doing any presentation. Certainly that was the case with this. So then, you know, when you're up there on the day, then, it comes to you with ease. So, and I love crowds. I love presenting. I love people.
So for the people who are in suspense, what is your area of research? What is your science?
Yes. So my area of research has covered a number of fields. So at one point I was a honeybee researcher. I actually got into the Age newspaper in Melbourne, where I was at the time. Picture of me in a bee suit. This is not a B-grade movie, Day in the Life of Sam Dyer. So, a bit of corny puns there. I ended up doing cancer research after that for some time over here in Adelaide, and I've been in Adelaide quite some time now. Love it. It's my adopted city. I've then moved to the commercial world, and so I worked quite a long time for a company best known for their DNA extraction technologies. And now, relatively recently, I've moved to a company who is very up and coming in their technology for basically third generation DNA sequencing technology, which is, I like to see a bit of a difference of comparison between them and maybe some of the more established players as sort of the difference between maybe the first computers in tech, you know, the ones that were big and bulky and yes, needed to fit whole rooms versus the ones that are portable, fast, and just, you know, very disruptive technology. You know, you can fit more data on an iPhone now than you could on those old sort of big computers. So the company I work for now does pretty much the same thing, but in DNA sequencing technology. I don't do the DNA sequencing technology myself. I liaise with and work with on a more of a commercial side of things with a bunch of people that do that inside the company and outside the company. And that in itself is quite fascinating because you get to hear about a very wide range of both research, scientific applications that are going on, everything from marine monitoring of conservation efforts in the ocean using environmental DNA to detect what species are there, to, everything to, working with clinicians, pathologists, doctors in terms of, point of care testing to, for example, one of the groups that we're working with is doing matching of organs between, donors and recipients, and they need to do some DNA checks on that to get the most compatible organs. So there's a lot of really exciting work going on, really exciting technology, and I think I just feel privileged to be involved in the thick of it.
It's amazing because as fast as computer technology has been developing, they're talking about things going exponential from 2 to 4 to 8 to 16 to 32. My understanding is that DNA sequencing is faster than that. Like, it's really fast how much smaller and cheaper and better all the technology is becoming very quickly.
It is amazing. And one figure I heard going around not that long ago is the amount of data generated from bioinformatics research, including DNA sequencing, is doubling every 6 months. So you're talking about your exponential growth. So they're just crazy numbers. So it is hard for computing storage as fast as it's going at Moore's Law and all that to actually keep up with the amount of data being generated. So that's where, you know, good data crunching solutions are also quite important, and that is integrated somewhat in what we have available in the company I work for. So we've also been quite involved in the use of AI in terms of predictive algorithms to be more accurate in terms of predicting, and I alluded to this a little bit in my comedy skit in a bit more of a hilarious way, but in order to detect accurately what the DNA sequence is, you need to really combine AI algorithms with biomolecular approaches. So I think the two really work well together beautifully in the company I'm with.
So is that using the AI to identify particular sequences, or what is it doing?
Essentially. So at the crux of it, the technology, which is beautifully simple, I like to see it a little bit like, you know, the LG logo, Advanced Simplicity, not that we could obviously steal that logo, but it is, I feel it's quite advanced and yet quite simple. I mean, effectively, we're putting the DNA strands through a very small hole, what we call a nano pore. So a pore is, you know, a tiny hole already, and that's generating an electrical current, and that electrical current has very minute, almost indetectable differences depending on what sequence of DNA is going through. So we've got algorithms that are very good that will read that very accurately, and you can get very defined sequence readouts of the DNA. So you may have heard the DNA is basically made up of four different types of, we assign letters as identifiers, you've got A, G, C, and T, and then there are various modifications of that as well, and it can get quite technical, and so the technology can read all of that and get some very accurate results, which is very exciting, and it's vastly different to how the tech's been done in the past, so really exciting to be working with a company doing that.
You're listening to Ian Wolf on Diffusion Science Radio. Send an email for science at diffusionradio.com, or brought to you across Australia on the Community Radio Network. Tune in and discover the wonders we unfold, exploring the mysteries that science holds, from molecules to galaxies. We'll take you far and wide. Join us on the journey. Let your curiosity guide.
And you were talking about a connection with cancer in your comedy.
Yes, and I think all of us know someone who's been, you know, affected by cancer, you know, either personally or through friends or relatives. And in fact, I did have a family member in the audience who had beaten prostate cancer, and I talked a bit about prostate cancer there, and he actually had quite an advanced stage as well. So it's very nice to have seen him come through it and out the other side. I think technology has helped us get a lot closer to curing more types of cancer. And I spoke a little bit about how cancer is actually each person has a unique genetic disease and set of mutations in their DNA that causes cancer that's unique to them. And understanding that through DNA sequencing allows us to do more targeted treatments. That means that people with cancer have much higher rates of survival. And so that's where the DNA sequencing interplay comes into to cancer itself. So it's really nice to see that synergy, I think, when that comes out, and when technology can help give you answers that, you know, literally make a difference in people's lives.
It's a interesting process putting all of that into the comedy show, because, well, I was thinking about originally, you know, could we play some of it on the podcast? But the problem is, the system that they're using leans heavily on slideshows. So there's a visual component that you'd have to rewrite some of the jokes to make it work on audio only.
Exactly. And I mean, I was practiced to the point where prior to going into the show, I knew everything in my head, what slides would come up, and I could have done everything without even seeing the slides, but the slides were there as a bit of a comedy guide as well, that yes, I would have had to adjust the talk somewhat if there were no slides. Certainly in terms of maybe some ongoing further comedy, I'd like to give things a go without slides at all.
But
you're right, it's a little bit hard to maybe bring some of that across in a podcast in terms of the humour without seeing the slides in the background.
And so I went through the Sydney Comedy School as well in the same sort of project. We did Science Week, National Science Week, and we also did the Sydney Fringe Festival.
Oh, lovely, lovely. Yeah. Yes, so you know exactly about all of this.
Well, that's what I was going to ask you. When you look back at the video, have you seen the video? You have seen other people's video of you, at least, if not
the official
one.
I've seen my video too, not the professional one, but I've seen the one taken by one of the guys in the audience, one of my friends. And sorry, what was your question?
Well, the question was, how did you feel watching yourself back for the first time?
Largely, I felt pretty happy seeing yourself and seeing... I felt that I performed well. I did seem to get a large number of laughs. Some of the sections, I maybe got more laughs than I anticipated and weren't even meant to be particularly funny. And then maybe some sections were meant to be very funny, less laughs. But, you know, that's all great. And, you know, successful comedians do constantly hone their material and what works and all of that. And so... If this was an ongoing thing, it would be exciting maybe to play around with that a little bit more. But I felt it was very well received. Had a lot of people come up to me afterwards and talk about it. One fella a little bit worried about should he be touching koalas to the chlamydia. Clarify some things there. It'll be okay.
Just don't touch them the wrong way.
Certain activities. Exactly. That's pretty much it. And you hope no one's actually doing that. really. I mean, it was great watching the talk, and I felt comfortable with what I'd done. Maybe a few minor things I would have, you know, improved incrementally, and that's, you know, a learning process, right? But overall, I was quite happy.
Oh, that's really good. I think that shows you had the right preparation, and you performed the way you wanted to.
Either that, or I just didn't understand what I was missing.
possibly. I mean, look, when I looked back at mine, I could see bits where I thought I could have emphasized things more or been a bit more over the top or something to emphasize the bits that were funny. And of course, I had two performances, and my first one, we had a packed room who laughed a lot, but no recording. And then when the second one, we had the recording, there were just the first two rows and the rest was empty.
Okay. Oh, dear.
And they laughed at slightly different places.
Yeah, interesting and different dynamics. Was it the same venue?
Different venue altogether.
Venue, yeah. Makes difference too, doesn't it?
Yes, I think so.
I know those of us that did have two sessions, they did it in two different venues. I visited the other venue too, and quite a different dynamic and vibe. So it's always interesting how you can sort of play to that in terms of your presentation. I do always like to suss out a venue before I'm doing any sort of presentation.
And as a scientist, how did you find the rules of comedy that you were taught about what makes things funny and how to construct jokes?
I think it was quite eye-opening. I mean, there's some things you pick up in life just trying to be a bit of a larrikin mucking around, and there's some things that maybe you don't know as much. And so it's nice to learn, I guess, the science of comedy and be taken through that and, you know, help yourself improve to be maybe a little bit more funny in future, just around family and friends and all of that. So it was quite interesting just picking apart. I think it hadn't really occurred to me before that there were quite defined structures to comedy and how you set up and all the way through to your punchlines and all of that. So again, quite a good learning experience.
Yeah. So in our case, we were encouraged to write a straight science talk first and then apply the workshops to make it funny. Is that the process you went through?
Interesting. Not really. No, I think we tackled it a bit the other way around. We were encouraged on how to write good comedy and then to write our science into utilizing that comedy to do it. So that was an interesting tact, I think, and seemed to go okay, I think.
Good. Well, congratulations on your performance and going through the whole process.
Thank you.
Because it's quite an adventure, isn't it?
It is, absolutely. Very much an adventure and very much good fun. It does also mean that I'm now considered an artist in the Adelaide Fringe, and that gets me access to the coveted Fringe Club, which is quite exciting, and you can bring in friends. So it's nice to be involved. It's my first year officially in the Fringe, not just watching other people in the Fringe. So that was not, I didn't do it for that, but it's a nice bonus. I just did it for the kicks and the laughter, and because I love science and I love trying to be funny and all of that.
Sam, thank you very much.
Thank you. Thank you for the opportunity. And if you have any other questions, I'm sure we can stay in touch.
That was Sam Dyer talking about DNA sequencing and its use in forensics, cancer research, and infection control. Here's a quick edited excerpt of Sam's show.
The point I want to make there is that really it's important to consider where you're getting your facts from. What is accurate? Did you know that about 7 million Americans believe that chocolate milk comes from brown cows? And if some of you in the audience do believe that, I would encourage you to maybe think it through. I'll leave it up to your imagination where the brown chocolate milk actually comes from. But the important thing, right, is to consider where are you getting your facts from? It's important, right? And it's important in a whole lot of outcomes, not least of all in health. And that really leads me to my next step. So I work for a company that makes DNA sequencing products, enabling DNA sequencing. And you might have heard a lot about DNA sequencing. Maybe it puts chips in your DNA. I've heard that. I certainly hope that they're flavored, vinegar flavored perhaps. That would be delicious. And, you know, is it anal probes? I don't think so. But it's important to get your facts right. And the benefit of DNA sequencing really allows you to do that in a whole range of areas to work out actually what is going on. And I'll take you through some of the details of the benefits of DNA sequencing. So the first really is forensics. And, you know, it can be who was at the scene of a crime. Wasn't me. It could be relatedness. And this is a picture of my beautiful, cute daughter. And for those of you who are parents in the room, I'm sure that most of the time your kids are cute. But also sometimes maybe you feel they're not. Maybe they arc up a bit. Maybe you don't get enough sleep. And so, I mean, when my daughter, her name's Nini, came to me and she said, "Daddy, am I adopted?" I got some DNA sequencing done, and unfortunately, I had to tell her, "Not yet." Just kidding, she's not my daughter. No, she is my daughter, as far as I know, and very cute. But that is one of the benefits of DNA sequencing. It's a little technique that I like to call, "Who's your daddy?" And it's somewhat different to when I was dating. And, you know, in a slightly different context, you know, I got to ask that same question. That's right, I'm your daddy. So that's benefit one of DNA sequencing. And another benefit is the ability to look at and characterise who has what microbial contamination or condition and even what strain. And you might be wondering, that's great, but what are these cute, innocent, cuddly koalas doing right here on this picture? And so for those of you who are maybe a little bit clammed up about your koala desires, I have news for you. They all have the clam. Legitimately, nearly every koala in Australia has chlamydia. And of course, we want to unpick that in a little bit more detail, but a bit of advice for you, a pubic health announcement, if you like. If you're going down a nature reserve and you see those cute little fizz in the trees, maybe, just don't fuck around. You know? And so, just as an aside, so the important thing with these beautiful, cuddly, dirty little animals is that we actually want to help them. We want to sequence and find out what strains of chlamydia and what's going on so that we can help them and help them get over that. I mean, but yeah, very, very cute butts though. No, I'm kidding. So there are other ways, of course, to check for cancer, and very broadly, there's a technique that gets a little bit closer to home called the fluorescent in situ hybridization, or FISH technique. And basically, we use probes, but DNA probes, not butt probes, to attach to sections of a DNA to work out what is going on and what particular areas of a DNA are perhaps mutated. So that's useful. And I like to personally call this technique finding chemo.
And that's all from us this week on Diffusion. Are you a scientist, artist, biohacker, or maker who'd like to be interviewed about your work? Would your company like to sponsor Diffusion? Send your contributions, opinions, helpful suggestions, and donations to science@diffusionradio.com. That's science@diffusionradio.com. Please rate the show on iTunes and Spotify. Tell your friends. Follow me on Instagram, Twitter, and Mastodon at Ian Wolf. I produce Diffusion, which is broadcast around Australia to 28 stations on the Community Radio Network, including Tune FM at the University of Armidale in New South Wales, 2MVR in Nambucca Valley, 3MBR in the Mallee Border districts of Victoria and South Australia, 4DDD in Dalby and the Darling Downs in Queensland, 4RPH in Brisbane, Denmark FM in Western Australia, 6GME Gulari in Broome, Radio Adelaide in South Australia, Lofty FM in the Adelaide Hills, 2XXFM in Canberra, City Park Radio 7LTN in Launceston, Tasmania, and Print Radio in Hobart. Diffusion is narrowcast on Indigo FM 88 in Northeast Victoria. Subscribe to the podcast on the Diffusion website, www.diffusionradio.com. That's www.diffusionradio.com, and check the website for links, photos, and videos about this week's show. If you enjoyed the show, you can explore more than 1,300 previous episodes archived on diffusionradio.com, where the shows are labelled by keywords, so you can focus in on the stories you want to hear. Join my patrons at patreon.com/diffusionradio. Make a donation through paypal.me/IanWolf. You can also support Diffusion by buying from the Diffusion Science Etsy store. I'm Ian Wolf. Join me inside your audio device of choice for more science wondering next week on Diffusion Science Radio.
Science is fun. It helps you to learn, to know, and to appreciate. When you study science, you may go on field trips. You discover the marvelous interrelationships between all living things. You learn to read the history of the earth as it is written in rocks and fossils. You find out what makes things tick. Everything from a molecule to a living organism. In the study of science is found the most useful and satisfying knowledge of man. Knowledge of his physical world, its past, its present, and its future. And in your moments of relaxation, now and in the years to come, you will find the study of science leading you into fascinating pursuits. Photography. collecting. Why study science? Study science because you will find in the study of science a richer, more rewarding life.